listening to the radio yesterday, and according to the football commentators, it's only 15-year-old girls that say awesome. So no, 15-year-old girls and pastors in Murray who know about the finished work of Jesus Christ, yeah, they use awesome as well. Brilliant, yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I notice not many have come out to change their offering. I'll make it easier for you. If you don't want it to go to the Philippines, come and tell me. Hallelujah. If you weren't here at the start, we're going to take an offering for the Philippines this morning. We're going to help a charity called Shelter Box. And if you want to take some money next week as well, next week, take it, stick it in an envelope, put it in the offering pot, and we'll add it all up. And I'm believing for 2 shelter boxes. So that's, I was good at maths, £1,180, hallelujah. So I know we can do it. Amen. Hallelujah, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time of worship. I thank you that we've been led into that place of intimacy with you, Lord. I thank you for the joy of worship. Thank you for the wonder of worship. And I just praise you and thank you. You are awesome and wonderful, majestic. And we praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for our worship team. Thank you for the blessings that they are to us all. Praise your name. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the picture that you've just given my brother about the guidance from the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that. And I thank you that Holy Spirit is here too, guiding and teaching. Praise your name. Father God, I thank you that you've put the message in my heart. I thank you that you've put the words in my mouth already. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for the incorruptible seed that is in this word. And I thank you that seed is now going to be planted in the hearts of these people. So I pray for open ears, open minds, open eyes, open hearts for this incorruptible seed to come in deep and to germinate through understanding so that it can't be stolen away. And I pray that it will, as it was designed to do, produce fruit and push us into those holy lives that we so desire. So I pray for understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. And then I haven't a clue where we're going. Holy Spirit needs to guide this morning. Hallelujah. It's been a strange kind of week for me. I'm a man of preparation, man of getting ready, man of work, yeah. And this week it's been really weird trying to do the message, because I haven't had a lot of time. And then when I have sat down, there's just nothing come. And I thought, no, that's for as a pastor, you think, oh, hallelujah, it's going to be a testimony week. Going to get a week off. No, it's been really weird. The Lord's been saying, no, I want you to preach. But there's just nothing there, nothing coming. And right up until last night, I was sitting at the back of the filling station, and the Lord reminded me about a passage that he wanted me to preach on about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And I didn't. So he wants me to preach on that this morning, but I don't know which part. But we'll see. It's going to be good. Hallelujah, I'm going to be hearing this message for the first time as well. This is going to be awesome. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. And those of you that know me will know I'm probably feeling very uncomfortable at this moment, but I feel quite at peace. I feel quite at peace. I've been working through a few things, and I think this is a wee bit of an assignment. And the old me would have been bothered by that. And you know what? Somebody told me last night, the Lord will not shame me. But if I fall flat on my face, I'm amongst friends. And you'll still love me. What do we say? Everybody say, I love. Pastor Vic. Pastor Vic. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Awesome. I've got to stop using that word, haven't I? As though God, you could say awesome at the end of every line in this passage, couldn't you? Stop filling time, Vic. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And guys, I had the privilege yesterday to give my testimony to a group of men. Here's my testimony. Here's the line that changed my life. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. I'm going to use that word again because who knows another word other than awesome that expresses how awesome? What? Amazing. It's near there. Fantabulous. Nah. Anyway, what? What did he say? Fandabby dozy. No. Do I look like a cranky? No. Awesome. This passage, 5 verses, is absolutely awesome. This 5 passages of Scripture, especially that last line, this is the passage of Scripture that changed my life. An understanding of the truths in here will set you free from so much. An understanding of the truths in here will lead you to the more effective communication of your faith. Scripture that says, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ distilled into 5 verses. And what's so good about it is there's next to nothing in here about what you have to do. Amen. This 5 verses of Scripture is all about what God has done for you and to you through the work of Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture talks about spirit, soul, and body. And we need to have an amazing understanding of. This passage of Scripture talks about us being born again in the Spirit. This passage of Scripture talks about us being reconciled to God through what Jesus Christ has done. Reconciliation talks about forgiveness. This passage of Scripture talks about our role, what we have to do. Ambassadors. And it talks about us being made righteous. There is next to nothing in here for you to do other than having faith in Christ and accepting what he's done. And that's why this passage of Scripture will set you free, because it will set you free from a works mentality. It will set you free from striving to achieve forgiveness, because you have already been forgiven. Because an essential part of reconciliation is forgiveness. And he has reconciled us to him. He has. It's nothing to do with us. sets us free from trying to make ourselves more righteous. Sets us free from trying to perform to be right in front of God. Because this passage of Scripture says, you have been made righteous. This passage of Scripture is wonderful. So let's look at it for the start. Because this is important. Because the first thing you need to get, the first revelation you need to get, is that this is about you. About you. Lots of people think, yeah, and I know God loves the world. And yeah, and it's a bit blasé. Yeah, and I know Jesus did this for the world, and I know he's done that for them and this for them. But Vic, you don't know about me. You don't know what I've done. No, but God does. And Jesus Christ was not just the propitiation for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. You can't be excluded from that. And this passage of Scripture starts with a statement of inclusiveness. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so. What they're saying is, if any man be in Christ, then everything that comes after it is for them. Because they're in Christ. We know what being in Christ means, don't we? We know what it means being a believer. If you're in Christ, you're a born-again believer, you've put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work for your salvation. Is there anybody in here this morning who has put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, and they're a born-again believer? Was that everybody? Excellent! So I'm preaching to who? The converted, yeah. No. Not this time. I'm preaching to you. If you are in Christ this morning, everything that I am now going to say from the next 4.5 verses, what's the time? What's the time? When do I have to be out, Dave? How long have I had? Go like that at an hour, Dave. 4.5 verses, Sean. You're not far enough away to get. You're not far enough away to get a kick. Everything I'm going to say from the next 4.5 verses is about you. And you must have that revelation. You must not exclude yourselves. That is a lot of the trouble with the body of Christ today. Yeah, I know the word says that we're all healed, but I'm not. I know Scripture talks about abundance, but abundance is not for me. I know it talks about prosperity, but no, that's not for me. I know the Word says we should all be in joy and peace, but no, that's not for me. People exclude themselves. God could never love me because of what I've done. God doesn't care what you've done. Because as Nunzi so eloquently put it this morning by telling us all, shut up. God has dealt with our sin. If you look at that all the way through Scripture, all the way through Scripture, what we see about Jesus dealing with sin and people being forgiven and people being made righteous and God loving people, you'll look at it and see it's always in the past tense. Nancy does that quite a lot. We sing some lovely songs, but if you listen to the originals, some of the lines are in a different tense. Because our faith is all about past tense. In the sense of what Jesus has done and what God has done, it's all a past tense. And then for us, yes, it is the present and the future. But what Jesus has done, it's always in the past tense. I mean, looking through here, he hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. Hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. He was made to be sin for us. All the wonderful things about Jesus and his finished work is past tense. God has done his bit. Jesus has done his bit. Yes, Holy Spirit is now here doing some stuff, but in terms of some stuff, it's that doesn't really quite express the magnitude of what the Holy Spirit is. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. He more than doing his stuff. But you know what I'm getting at. If we're talking about Jesus and his work, which if you come to MGF, you'll kind of clicked that that is a lot of what I focus on. Jesus and his work is a finished work. And it's a past tense. I've said this before. Where is Jesus? Where did Jesus go when he ascended after he rose from the dead? Where did he go? He went to sit down at the right hand of the Father. You sit down when you've finished work. That's a picture that his work is finished. Everything in here is past tense. Here's another thing that we don't get right in the body of Christ today. We are waiting for God to do something. There's no waiting. There's no waiting. Malcolm spoke out a word last night about revival. Revival's a time for getting your hands dirty, wasn't it? It's about doing things. Revival is not about waiting for God to do his bit. We are revival. I heard a preacher once saying, if you want revival, go and raise somebody from the dead, and you'll have as much revival as you can handle. God told us to go and raise the dead. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the authority from Christ. Christ spoke to his disciples. If we want revival, we should be starting to heal the sick, raise the dead, open deaf ears. Yeah, I get that right. Open blind eyes. Somebody's getting them round the wrong way. You've got to think. Because he's finished his work. He's now put inside you his spirit. So, yeah, so kind of semantics. So it's his spirit, him still doing the work. Yeah, but you're the one that needs to go and lay hands. Speaking about that last night, the word says, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Jesus told people to go out and heal the sick. You know, there's nowhere in Scripture where Jesus tells you to go out and pray for the sick. Nowhere do you go and pray for the sick. It says go and heal the sick. He must have given us the authority and the power before we could do that. His work is finished. He's given that power and authority to us. And this passage explains all that to us. How can that be done? Why, you know, how can we have that power? Why have we got that authority? This passage is a distillation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about him and all about his work. I need to say something really briefly about spirit, soul, and body, because if you don't understand that, you won't get the rest. You must have an understanding that we're a three-part being. We're made up of spirit. That's our spirit. We're made up of soul. That's our mind, will, and emotions. And we're made up of this marvelous specimen standing in front of you. Hey! Hey! An amen for my wife. Awesome! See, if you don't understand that you're made up of spirit, soul, and body, you can look at this first part of this passage and not understand it and therefore not get the rest. So it's really important. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when I became born again, I looked in the mirror. Vic was not a new Vic. This Adonis suddenly didn't appear. It was still me. When I became born again, my thought life didn't change overnight. No, that didn't change. But this verse says, when I became a Christian, all my old things passed away. The old things died. All things become new. It didn't. This didn't change. The way I was thinking, my thoughts, will, my emotions didn't change. What died and what was born again, therefore, must have been my spirit. Can you see that? Because then when we go and look on down here, we can see a lot of this, or this is speaking about our spirit man. How can I be perfect? Because what I'll tell you is, once you've been born again in your spirit, you are perfect, you are righteous, you are holy. But yet, when you're born again, you look in the mirror and you think, man, that doesn't look holy. But you can't see your spirit in the mirror. See, if you don't understand that a lot of these truths in the Word are talking about your spirit, and then someone comes and tells you you're perfect, you say, well, I'm not perfect, so I'm not listening to anything else he says, because he's obviously miles off. Because you know what? I'm looking around here this morning. I'm sorry. It's like, I kind of see perfection. I mean, no offense. Like, and I would say the same if it was a mirror somewhere. Yeah, no offense, but you know what? Your bodies and the way you're thinking and your emotions, I'm sorry, they're not perfect. But the Word of God is true. So you are perfect. Now, I'm a man of maths. Can I do a formula for you? You know, you have got to believe that it's your spirit that is perfect. Because it's near your body, and it's near your mind, will, and emotions. Old things are passed away. That old spirit, the old man, it's, you know, what it's called in other parts of Scripture, the second you became born again, died. Dead. Gone. Passed away. Finished. And you were given a new spirit. Behold, all things are become new. And what is this all thing? All things are of God. So that old man that we were born with, that sin nature, because of one man's actions years and years ago, died. And because of another man's action, some years later, we get a new born-again spirit through faith in him. It's awesome. So in your spirit man, you are perfect. Thank you for that one. Yay. In your spirit man, you are absolutely perfect and made righteous. And holy. Are you sure about that, Vic? Ephesians 4:24 talks about the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and not even holiness, true holiness. I love when they add that little extra, you know, the Word adds that little bit, exceedingly great. true holiness. So we can now look on at this passage and see what we've got in our spirit man, in the true us. You know, God is a spirit, and he works on the spirit to spirit. Do you know that when God looks at you right now, he doesn't see what you see in the mirror? He doesn't see what you think. When he looks at you right now, he sees Jesus. Do you know that on the day of judgment, which we can have boldness on, you might have worries about what's going to happen, but I'm not 100% certain what's going to happen, but on that day you can have boldness, is what the word says. And when you stand in front of God on that day, you know who he's going to see? Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank goodness he's not going to see me. Well, he'll see you, but he'll see Jesus. Because in the spirit, you are one with him. It's another passage of scripture. You're one with him. I don't think I'm going to get very far with these. I don't think I'm going to get further down. So you've got a new born again spirit. And all things are become new. And this all things, this new spirit, is of God. That's wonderful. Right now, in your spirit, you have all the attributes of Almighty God. In that born-again spirit that you're sitting there with right now, you have all the compassion you will ever need. All. Colossians 2:10 says, we are complete in him. Well, I look in the mirror, I don't look very complete. Yes, I know that. But we're talking about your spirit. See, once you know about spirit, soul, and body, you can look at all these verses that have been confusing. Complete in him? What, this? Yeah. The one who thought not very nice thoughts. Whenever, I won't give you an example. I used to use football, but then I go anywhere. So what? Driving. Yeah. That's the next area I need to work on. Still have some ungodly thoughts when I'm driving. But never mind. I'm complete in him when I'm thinking these horrible thoughts. No, it's not your mind, will, and emotions. It's your spirit. Once you really understand that, you can look through this book, these truths, and you can start believing those scriptures that say you are complete and you are perfect. And you are holy. And you are righteous. You can start believing them. Because you know it's talking about your spirit. You can rightly divide the word better by knowing this fundamental truth. I had an email from somebody the other day, and it was, how can this passage be true, Vic? It's talking about my spirit, but I need to do this, 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 and this. I said, yeah, but if you go back and look at the Greek, that's actually talking about your soul. Because it can't be talking about your spirit, because you know your spirit is perfect. Sometimes spirit and soul are interchanged, especially in the King James, so you need to have a Strong's to help you understand. But if you see something about spirit and it's talking about an improvement, you know it's talking about your soul. And if you see something that's talking about perfection, you know it's talking about your spirit. That's a fundamental truth that we really need to understand. Sounding all ministry now, but I have a teaching about spirit, soul, and body at the back of the church if you would like to study up on that. You've got to understand that. To especially understand about the truth that you're righteous. There are certain fundamental truths that if you can believe and really understand, will change your life overnight. Understanding that you've been righteous try and phrase this properly, because we're not on a performance-based mentality, okay? But we are trying to lead more holy lives, yes? Now, we're trying to lead more holy lives because we love God. We're not trying to lead more holy lives in order to get him to love us. But we should be trying to lead more holy lives. If you can understand and grasp that you have been made righteous, absolutely righteous, and you have absolute right standing with God, and he accepts you right now where you are, I promise that that will lead to a step change in your performance in terms of holiness and sin. See, we've got it so wrong in a lot of the church. And religion will tell you, you need to perform to get right standing from God. What the gospel tells you, what the truth in scriptures is, if you understand about righteousness, that will then lead to performance. That will lead to holiness. It's the other way around. 2 Corinthians, it's not 2 Corinthians 15, because it isn't a 2 Corinthians 15. It must be 1 Corinthians 15. Corinthians 15:34. And if you have a certain Bible, you'll not get this. But 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." There are certain versions of the Bible that don't have the "and sin not." That's an absolutely essential part. See, if you can awake to righteousness, that means to suddenly come to have a revelation, to understand that you have been made righteous, the word says you will sin not. It's there in black and white. And yet what we've been taught for years and years is, try and sin not and you'll become righteous. Is that people's experience? Because I tell you, it was mine. This is what I used to teach as well, sometimes. Said that quietly. If we awake to righteousness, we will sin not. I'm trying to think of another word. It's awesome. Is it not? Yeah. Is it not awesome? Amen. And how do I go about getting this righteousness, Vic? Be in Christ. Be in Christ. Because see, the second you're born again, your old man dies, your new man is born, and it is created in righteousness. I was going to stop it. Righteousness. Who said true holiness? Well done. It was created in that instant. And you know the good thing as well? It says the Holy Spirit then sealed that. He then sealed that. So see, here's another good one. Right, see if MD can take this the wrong way. Just as you cannot do anything of your own to make yourself righteous, there's no sin that you can do to make yourself unrighteous. You get that? You are sealed. Now, yes, we can get into debates later, and I'm happy to do it, but not just now because I can't remember the scripture. There is a scripture later that says, yeah, you can hand back your salvation. But you need to do this, 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 and this. My understanding is that once you're saved, you are saved, apart from that one condition. You cannot sin away your salvation. You cannot sin away your righteousness. See, before we're saved, You would all agree we were prisoners to sin. Yeah? See, once you're saved, you are a prisoner to righteousness. You cannot get rid of your righteousness because it is in your born again spirit. Is it okay for me to go out and live in sin, Vic? God forbid. I always add that on bit because this is what I get accused of. I am not, I repeat, not giving you a license to sin. Now the good news is, when you make a mistake, did you hear the important word there? When. The good news is, when you make a mistake and sin, that has absolutely no eternal consequences whatsoever. Because you've been born again. No eternal consequences whatsoever. But surely God sees it. No. God's dealt with your sin, hasn't he? Where's he put your sin? Behind his back. Thank you. Where else has he put your sin? On the cross. Where else has he put your sin? As far. Thank you. That's the one I was looking for. Ah, you're good, darling. As you'd think we were one body, wouldn't you? Oh, we are. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. It's a kind of paradox, because some of our sin we've not even done yet. Yet he's removed them as far as the east is from the west. But I've not done them yet. Yeah, but he's removed them as far as the east is from the west. He's put them behind his back. He's forgotten all your sins and iniquities already before you even done them. But how could he have dealt with my sin before I've even done them? You better hope he's dealt with all your sin before he done it, because he dealt with your sin on the cross. We're fortunate enough to live in this day and age, 2,000 years since the cross. All our sins were dealt with then. Do you know what verse 20, I'm kind of going way off on tangents here, but verse 21 is awesome. Do you know in the good old King James, if it's got the words in italics, it means they weren't there in the original Greek. And sometimes if you ignore them, it can really alter the meaning or heighten what they're saying. Jesus didn't just take our sin on the cross. Verse 21 says, if you remove the italics, for he, that was God, hath made him sin for us. He became sin. It's dealt with. Every single sin that you've done or are doing or are going to do has been forgiven. I remember preaching once before. It was in the Stotfield. Was anybody at the Stotfield when we used to meet in there a couple of times? That was a long time ago. Preached in there one night, and I just heard another preacher say it, and I had to listen to it 7 or 8 times because it was so profound. That you mustn't take this in the wrong way. This guy was asked a question. Somebody said to him, "What do I have to do to have a sin forgiven?" And the guy said, "Commit it." That is profound. Now then he went on to explain, but I don't want you to go out and sin. Because this guy's accused as well of giving his people a license to sin. That's not how he meant it, and it's not how I meant it. What I'm saying is, there is nothing you can do to have your sin forgiven. Because it's already been forgiven. There's no excuse to go out and sin, though, because hallelujah, it's got no eternal consequences, but oh boy, I tell you, has it got earthly. Sin is vile. Sin is awful. Yeah, tell people out there that Vic preached that. You know, folk are here now, oh, Vic's just saying I've got a license to sin. No, that's not what he's saying. Sin is awful. Sin is vile. Sin will ruin your life. But God's forgotten about it. Their sins and iniquities will I what no more? Remember no more. It's wonderful, isn't it? He did it. That's where I was going. He was made sin who knew no sin so that you might be made righteous. You could actually put in there, because this is talking about your sinful man, you could actually put in there who knew no righteousness. As you couldn't make yourself righteous. No way could you make yourself right with God. Because everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not because of the sin you do, but because you were born a sinner. You become in Christ, you are then born a saint. And you are created in righteousness and true holiness. And hallelujah, not your righteousness. Because it's marvelous that you're righteous. Isn't that wonderful? Right now, where you're sitting, in your born-again spirit, God's looking at you and he sees you righteous. But whose righteousness does he see? His. Oh, Gordon Bennett, this is just astounding. Not only are you righteous, but it's like him looking in a mirror. Oh, she's as righteous as me. Isn't that good? Not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done. This passage is all about Jesus Christ. All about what he's done, and yet we get all the good stuff. It is just brilliant. These five passages, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ distilled down into an amazing summary of what he has done and he has made you. See, that's the bottom line of the Christian life. It is not about performance. It is not about tithing, coming to church. I always say helping old ladies across the road. You know, it's not about works, which seems to be the driver for so many people. Christian life is not about works. It is about getting an understanding of what he has done and he has made you. Oh, you have been reconciled, you have been forgiven, and you have been made righteous. But I don't feel forgiven. What? Tough. Tough. I can't quite get my head around that. I don't understand it. Well, tough. Accept it. Thank you. The word says you've been forgiven. Oh, but I don't know. I really feel like there's something that maybe I should be doing. Yeah, well, shed some blood then. You want to do something for your own forgiveness? Shed some blood. That's what the word says. What's the fancy word, the same as forgiveness? What am I thinking about? Remission. Thank you. Good job, she's at the back. There is no remission for sin without the shedding of blood. We see that through the whole law, and then we see that at the cross. Now, has Jesus done it more than once? Is he coming back again to go on a cross? No. Oh boy, he's coming back again. But I tell you what, it's not going to be like the last time. Jesus came and died on the cross once. Shed his blood once. Read Hebrews 8, 9, 10, and 11. The once chapters. You have got to believe that you've already been forgiven, because blood stopped being shed at the cross. Amen. Remission for sin, that means forgiveness for sins. What about 1 John 1:9, Vic? Maybe next week. Maybe next week, or maybe a week after I read the leaflet. You have got to believe that you have already been forgiven because blood has not been shed since at the cross. If you want to do something about your own forgiveness, I don't know how you're going to have to do it, but you're going to have to shed some blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. The word is very clear on it. You have been forgiven. You see, the word, this five passages doesn't talk about forgiveness, but it does. All things are of God, and we've got that far, haven't we? That's talking about our spirit. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, and just to tell you again, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, folks, reconciliation is a done deal. What's reconciliation? Reconciliation is just the taking together of two parties that had an offense that put them apart. It's a simple word. There was two parties who were separated. God and man. And sin separated them. Jesus Christ came, shed some blood, his blood, perfect, once, and finished the separation. You know, we all see the pictures on Facebook of the chasm, man, God, with a cross. I don't normally like things like that, but it's a decent picture, I suppose. It's an analogy, you know. God, man, huge chasm, sin. Man can't get to God on his own strength. That's why we need a saviour. That's what the law is all about, showing you that you need a saviour, because you can't do it yourselves. And then Jesus Christ came, gave himself up as the sacrificial lamb. The perfect sacrificial lamb shed his blood once, and there was a remission for sin. Or actually, there was the remission for sin. And I keep forgetting where I'm going. Reconciled. He has brought about reconciliation. Do you know that's why Jesus came? Jesus didn't come to get you into heaven. That's a lovely byproduct. Go to Luke 2, and I think it's 13 or 14. I'll know when I get there. It's 13 and 14. Here's the angels proclaiming the coming of Jesus, the heavenly host. And suddenly there was with the angel, this is 13, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is proclaiming the coming of Jesus. And we see here one of the most misquoted scriptures in the whole of Christendom. Especially on those damn Christmas cards. Peace on earth. No! That's not what he came for. If he came to bring peace on earth, he failed big time. You just got to look around the world. Is there any peace on earth? No, he came to bring on earth peace. What kind of peace? Goodwill toward men. Jesus came to bring about reconciliation. Jesus came to get away that separation. And hallelujah, because of that, you were reconciled, forgiven, made righteous, got a perfect spirit, but you can go to heaven as a lovely byproduct. Because that separation is gone, you have the privilege of spending eternity in the presence of the Almighty God. which you couldn't have if you were a dirty old sinner. But you're not, because you're a lovely, beautiful saint. Amen. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ and your faith in that. Reconciliation is bringing together two parties who have been separated because of something. Sometimes it's because of what both of them have done. Sometimes it's because of what one of them done. In this case, well, God didn't do anything wrong. You know what, guys? In my experience, just talking about people, if there is to be true reconciliation, there needs to be forgiveness. These two verses are talking about forgiveness as well. When we were reconciled to God, you know what? It was our fault. It's all our fault. Before there can be true reconciliation, there needed to be forgiveness from the wronged party. And guys, he's forgiven you. Not because you're good. He's forgiven you. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. And I love the one in Colossians. Remember I said if it's in italics, it wasn't there in the original Greek. Well, in Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The translators who wrote this Bible felt the need to put in the word even. Because we'd be sitting there thinking, oh, I don't, nah. I'm not sure if it's the forgiveness of sins. No, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption through his blood. Guys, every new covenant scripture that is talking to the born again believer says you have already been forgiven because you have already been reconciled. You don't have to ask for forgiveness. Really, Vic? Hey, let's get really controversial. You don't have to ask God for forgiveness anymore. If you ask God forgiveness, that's a slur on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Really? Yeah, because he's done it. Oh, well, can I thank him, Vic? Hey, you blooming well should, so. And thank him every day of your life. You know, if you want to pray about forgiveness, 55 times a day, thank him that you've been forgiven. Don't ask him for something you've already got. He's already done. I will be available at the back to talk about 1 John 1:9. Let me just try and sum up, I think. I'm going to carry on with this next week. But the important thing for today is you need to understand about spirit, soul, and body. You need to understand that it's your spirit that God is relating to. And when I'm standing up here saying, oh, Chris, you're perfect. I mean, I shouldn't have, nah. It's your spirit that's perfect. Should have done that to a bloke, shouldn't I? You know, you need to understand that I'm talking about your spirit. I need to understand that the word, a lot of the time, is talking about your spirit. Because I've had these thoughts. It's like saying, God, I know what I do. I know what I've done. How can I be righteous? Well, I'm righteous because of my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he's made me. I say this loads of time, guys. It is nothing to do with you. It is nothing to do with us. What we have been made is all about what Jesus Christ has done. We have been reconciled. We have been made righteous. And then what this verse doesn't actually talk about, this, the rest of the Christian life is about you then renewing your mind to those truths. Through the Word, through talking to fellow believers, through the Holy Spirit, getting rid of the lies that you've been told. Getting rid of the lies you've told yourself in the past. The rest of the Christian life after you have been born again is about renewing your mind to your reconciliation, your forgiveness, and your righteousness. They are the foundations that you need to build everything else upon. Guys, I can promise you, if you don't understand that you've been forgiven and understand that you've been made righteous and then try and build something else without the foundations of that, there is a point when it's going to come tumbling down. Because I don't want to speak death over people, but there are times going forward when every single one of us is going to fail. Every single one of us. And you know, it's at those times when we can just, and this is not being blasé, we can just sit back and say, thank you that I've been forgiven, and thank you that I have been made righteous. Right, let's move on. And not sit in thinking, oh, that's another sin that got notched up and it's going to be shown on the video when I stand in front of God on the judgment day and everybody's going to see it. You know, you can move on. That, by the way, is what I believe because that's what I was taught. And you know what? See that doctrine. See once you've done the same sin three or four times and you know everybody in existence is going to see it three or four times. What the heck's a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, or an eighth? I'm just going to do it. That was my mindset. It was. You know what? You might as well be... God, everybody knew that. you might as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb. As in, I'll just do it again and again and again. Because you know what? If you fail in one thing in the whole law, that's you failed the whole lot. So it doesn't matter how many you do. I'm getting off on another thing here. Right? Knowing that you've been righteous, knowing that you've been reconciled, knowing that you've been forgiven, needs to be the principal biblical truth that you build everything else on. So that when you fall, and I don't want to speak this out over you like I said, but when you make a little mistake, or when you have a great big whopping sin, you can say, yeah, I'm really sorry I did that. You know what? I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go the other way because I have been forgiven and I have been made righteous, and that stupid thing I just did has got no eternal consequences. You're going to have to deal with the earthly stuff because you've done it. You're going to have to deal with the earthly consequences. Sin hurts yourself. It hurts the people around you. It hurts your work colleague. It's stupid to do it. But it has no eternal consequences. It has earthly consequences. But if you know in your spirit at that point in time you are still perfect and that God is still looking on you with acceptance and he's still looking on you with love, and he's still looking on you, still wanting to bless you with all that he's got, because he's already given you all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. If you can, at those times, that's when it's really, really important that you know you've been forgiven and righteous. Because you can still know in your heart that, yeah, he still loves me. And he still accepts me. And he still thinks I'm great. And he hasn't taken my picture off his mantelpiece until I get good performance when he's going to put me back on. You know, God's not like that. You can do something really stupid and he'll still look at you and say, I love you and I accept you because he's looking at your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're an awesome God. I thank you for all the truths that we've just seen there, that we've been forgiven, that we've been reconciled, that we've been... Did you feel that? Sorry, that we've been made righteous. That was... Wow. Hallelujah.